This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What's up? What's happening on what we're going to call a Remix Thursday here on the Team 980? Nothing to do with the go-go remixes that Anthony's playing. It's just we're going to remix the whole show today. Typically on Thursdays, our show goes something like, never read the comments at 5:30. We have, of course, our mock drafts that we've been doing typically in the 4 o'clock hour. Last week, but we've been doing a lot of mock draft stuff on Thursday early on in the show. And today, Anthony, we decided to just throw it up in the air and see where it landed.
Yes, we did. I'm excited to see how it turns out. I think it's going to turn out good.
If not, it's your fault because you planned the whole thing.
Bet.
You really did put this rundown together. And I kept staring at it going, it doesn't feel right because it doesn't feel normal, right? And I had to check myself and go, no, this is good the way we have it. It's just not what we're used to. It's not the way we've been doing business. And if we hate it, then we'll never stray from this again. Although we're going to have to figure out next Thursday, Anthony, because next Thursday is the first round of the NFL draft, and we're not doing 3 hours.
We're doing four.
We're doing four.
Maybe five.
No, we're doing four.
Okay, just making sure.
I do think we're off at 6:15 Wednesday and Friday, though.
Ooh, for real?
Yeah, because the Nats.
I'm so sad,
I know. It's crushing the day before and after the NFL draft. If there were 2 days on the calendar that I would pick, it wouldn't be those two. But I do believe because the Capitals playoff schedule is out, those games will be over on 106.7 The Fan, and thus we get the Nationals over here, and that's the way that goes. Today, though, my day started with a bearded man talking football, which is not anything new, because normally I tape the Take Command podcast with Logan Paulson. In this case, it was just a different bearded man. This one's Jeremy Green. We did a mock draft ourselves this morning. It was supposed to be a 7-round mock draft, Anthony, but by the time we got done making a million trades, we wound up with our final pick at number 128. We unloaded some of the 7th-rounders.
Oh, my.
So we were done. It was kind of funny. We were talking at the end, and the mock draft simulator is just still going because we had set it up for all 7 rounds. I have no idea what happens rounds 5 through 7 in that draft. Anthony and I at 5 o'clock are going to embark on mock draft 2.0 for this show. We will pick the entire first round, alternating picks. Anthony will be first, and thus he will also be 29th. Trades are live if someone wants to make one, although we'll talk more about why. I don't know how actually that's going to affect things as we get later on in the show and as we get into that mock draft. You'll hear some of what Jeremy and I talked about, including a very interesting James Pierce discussion. He is not hearing some of the same things as everybody else. I still don't know that I fully buy it, but we'll talk about it coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And then right now, we'll get to where my day went from after talking football. I got in the car, officer, I went the speed limit, got myself in as quickly as I could legally down to what is now known as Care First Arena, the MedStar Health Performance Center formerly known as ESA, Entertainment Sports Arena, where the Wizards held their season-ending press conference with Will Dawkins. And the Wizards general manager spoke for about 45 minutes, a lot of interesting stuff. And I think it's interesting not because he said anything really revolutionary or in many ways revelatory, but I do think it continues to show that these are executives who get it, they have a plan, and they are constantly evaluating that plan. But there's just a couple things I wanted to highlight here, wanted to point out about what Will Dawkins said for Wizards fans and to kind of flush out some of this. The first thing is, they are not trying to sell us a bill of goods in the way that I think a lot of the former executives in Washington tried to sell us a bill of goods with this team. I mean, I'm still of the thought that some part of Tommy Shepard getting fired by the Wizards happened because he kept saying they were close. And eventually, Ted Leonsis realized that was not the case. That was not realistic. And he said it on this show, but I'm sure that he also said it like in meetings and stuff. And they weren't close. And trying to sell us that just made us feel like we were taking crazy pills. And Will Dawkins today said that they are getting closer than perhaps when they took over, which, duh, but that they are still not remotely close enough. And this dose of reality, especially amidst this very long-term rebuild, is something I appreciated.
Around here, we talk about it all the time. We're going to acknowledge the growth. We are going to celebrate every small win. We're going to keep our head down and keep stacking days, keep working hard until we look up, see where we're at, put our head back down, and get back to work. You've heard it time and time again, but we realize we're still in that early phase of fighting for sustained success. Like, that's what we're trying to get here, our longevity, where when we enter into the playoffs, it's us there for a while, not in and out. And to do that, we got to build slowly and build the right way. And while we understand we're not close, we are closer. And that's the goal every single season. And I do feel like we laid some bricks to the foundation this year. And now that the season is officially over, we sat down with the guys, and my message was, from the time you guys all ran out on the court to go celebrate with Bob to the time we officially picked the ball up October 1st for training camp, there's 170 days. There's 365 days in the year, so that's roughly 46% of the year that we're off. Like, we can't be off. We have to turn that into time where players are getting better, team's getting better, everybody's taking a jump. And I kind of challenge them to be different players when they come back.
I will continue to say this about Will Dawkins. I don't want to play for that guy. And I think we're lucky in town right now that there's a lot of executives like that. I don't know that Adam Peters is as inspiring at a podium necessarily. I think that Adam is pretty averse to saying anything, where I think Will is very careful about what he says, but that's very different than averse to saying anything. I think that's in part because they realize that they need the coverage, and they are always in Monumental Basketball. Jamila did this for the Mystics press conference. Michael Winger does this every time he talks as the president. And Will does this seemingly every time he talks as the general manager on the Wizards side. Like, they always thank the press for their coverage, especially considering how their season is right now. Sure, it might butter us up, but I actually think it is genuine gratitude because they realize the team is not very good. And if they don't explain what's happening, then it just lets people be angry. But imagine you get through a season like they just went through, where you may have made a lot of personal growth, but you didn't win a lot of games. And you're like, all right, well, hopefully next year we're going to win a lot more. And your GM sits there in front of the whole team and says to all of you, we all got to be better. 46% of the year is going to go by, calendar-wise, between now and when we tip off on opening night. How different are you going to be by then? That speaks to me. That if I was an athlete, if I was a coach, if I was a scout, if I was anybody in that room, that would speak to me. Because that is a challenge that feels purposeful and realistic to become a different, better whatever. I hope I'm a better radio host. And what do you say, Anthony? October 1st is when they get together for training camp, I think is what he said.
Yep.
If this show's not better by October 1st, then we're not doing a great job. Like, it just is. And especially if we got the next 6 months off to try to plan and strategize, and all we did was work on things that made us better. We didn't actually have to do it. I think we should do an experiment, Anthony. No shows till October 1st. No.
Nah.
We still have to work, to be clear.
Yes.
We're not off. We do a lot of listening to other shows, maybe get some ideas. We listen back to our own stuff. We would do mock shows where we try stuff out, see if it works. How good could, I'll make our bosses a deal. We'll even come back for week one of the NFL. We'll come back September. We'll do it before. We'll take Will Dawkins, your 46%. We'll do like 43%. You think they'll go for it?
No.
I don't think so either. Okay. When we get back, what is Will Dawkins trying to build? You'll hear more from the Wizards GM before we give you a special 4 o'clock hour edition of Never Read the Comments at 4:30.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Mock Draft 2.0 for the Hoffman Show coming up at 5 p.m. Wizards GM Will Dawkins speaking today to the collected press, crammed in a room over at ESPN. Yeah, the Wizards get enough coverage. Next year, we're going to need a bigger room. Wizards PR, we were sitting there. And we almost were at capacity in terms of the number of chairs. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing because the Wizards are building something very, very interesting in terms of the young players that they had and or they have. And one thing that I think is worth playing first before we get into some of the stuff from the season and we get to some of the growth of the individual players and all that stuff. Next year is going to probably look very similar. And I appreciated Varun Shankar asking this question of the Washington Post because the Wizards next year have a top eight protected pick, meaning if their pick is in the top eight, they get to keep the pick. And it goes back to a trade made years ago with the New York Knicks that just continually is getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And protection's getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier, or I should say lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And if it gets pushed out any farther, it actually is just going to dissipate. I think it's 2 second-round picks go to the Knicks if the Wizards are picking 9 or worse next year. Now, if they're picking 9 or worse, it means they've had a market improvement in terms of how good they are, and that's ultimately a good thing. But it is worth asking. I don't know how honest Will Dawkins can be if the answer is like, we're going to suck again. But in terms of the youth movement, it is fair to... I think it's safe to say that they're gonna approach next year very similarly than they did this year. It's just with a lot of the same guys who will be a year older and a year better.
The pick's been encumbered since we got here. I don't think it's affected how we want to go about things too much. The plan is to continue to grow through young players. If our young players make a massive jump and we go forward, we go forward. But in terms of the deconstruction, the foundation piece that I was talking about, building it back up and fortifying it, I'd say we're probably still on that little, is that a right angle? Is that what we do? That little corner, that deconstruction, build foundation, like we're still down here. We're still in the early phases of what we're trying to do. I think we found some players and laid some bricks that will allow us to continue to build, kind of build that base, but I think we're still over here in this little corner.
So, you know, Will's talked about the deconstruction phase a lot, and Michael Winger's talked about it as well. Like, they had to tear it down, and it sounds to me like they are exiting that. You know, Will said in the answer we played in the last segment that they've laid a couple of bricks. To me, they're kind of pouring the concrete now. Like, okay, we finally are done tearing down the previous building. We're digging a big hole, and we're about to pour some concrete in. You know, maybe even the hole is dug. And now this jump season, this off season, is when they pour some concrete. Next year, they try to start building on it. We're still a long way from, you know, scaffolding and structure and, you know, then, God forbid, windows and furnishings. But there is at least starting to be more than a just demolition that is happening. And obviously, one of the young guys at the head of that is the number two overall pick from last year, Alex Sarr, who I would say somewhat quietly had a really, really good season. One that if he builds on it in the way that other people that have had similar seasons built on it could put him in rarefied air in the NBA, which is, I think, not what is projected for him, but so far so good for a kid who's barely 20 years old.
For a 19-year-old, I think we're all pretty impressed with the fight that Alex Sarr showed this season. Obviously, Marcus and a lot of people in the organization see where he can go, which is a pretty high level. So, of course, he's going to continue to talk to him and continue to work on those things. And trust me, we've had a lot of conversations with Alex Sarr about who he is, who he wants to be, and he wants to be great. And we're going to try to give him every resource to do that. And if you run his numbers, it was pretty impressive for the rookie campaign that he had. Because Alex, to me, is not just a defensive player. I think he's a defensive-first player. It took him a little while to kind of establish himself on the offensive end, but he's an all-around player. And only rookie in the NBA to be top five in points, top five in blocks, top five in rebounds, and I'm pretty sure he was the number one big in assists. So the guy knows how to play and has an impact on both ends. We ran the numbers. One of three players with 100 assists, 100 blocks, 100 plus blocks. The list of rookies that have averaged like double-digit points and 1.5 blocks is pretty insane. Like, it's a ridiculous list. And then when you make that list 12 points, 1.5 blocks, and 2 assists, it's pretty good company. I'm not going to tell you who's on it, but if you want to do the research, we showed them the names, and there's a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of Rookie of the Years, like high-level players. So Alex had a tremendous season. We love that people still want more for him because we know he can do it, but he's well on his way.
So I would guess Will Dawkins knows this about me. I love a challenge. I love looking up stats. I love looking up numbers. Luckily, this one was pretty easy. The list of players in their rookie season with 12 or better points per game and 1.5 or better blocks per game. It's not a short list, but it's not a long list. I got 25 that are listed here since 1973-1974. Anthony, are you ready for the list of players who have gotten 12-plus points per game and 1.5 blocks per game in their rookie season?
Yeah.
Sarr, Chet Holmgren, Victor Wembanyama, Evan Mobley, Andre Ingram, but that one doesn't count. He only played 2 games with the Lakers, so scrap him. Joel Embiid, Karl-Anthony Towns, Porzingis, Anthony Davis, Brooke Lopez, Emeka Okafor, Yao Ming, Pau Gasol, Elton Brand, Vince Carter, Tim Duncan, Zydrunas Ilgauskas, Marcus Camby, Antonio McDice, Joe Smith, Chris Webber, Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal, Dikembe Mutombo, David Robinson.
25?
So it's really 24 because whoever Andre Ingram is doesn't count. He played 2 games.
You don't remember him?
No.
He was a guard, to be honest.
That would, sure.
He got like a 10-day contract or something like that. Played with the Lakers.
Yeah, that's he was with the Lakers. The worst player on this list, all due respect to Andre Ingram, who we're kicking off the list, like a Mecca Okafor, Antonio McDyess was a pretty good player in some knee stuff. He plays in a different era. He's probably a better player because the medical would have been better. Joe Smith, like, this list is sick. All these dudes are all-stars or future all-stars. Every single one of them. Because, like, even Okafor was a pretty decent player, like, defensively for a couple years. I think Okafor is probably the worst guy on this list. And offensively, Emeka Okafor did not have the feel, the handle, the skills that Alex Saar has.
Yeah, I mean, I think Okafor was a pretty good player. Like,
right.
All of those guys were, to be honest. Like, and to say, you know, he's the quote-unquote worst of that list,
right,
is saying something, because when he was with Chris Paul, you know, in New Orleans, the Hornets were pretty good. So
yeah, he's absolutely part of winning teams and drove them defensively.
Yep.
Which fits in, by the way, nice accidental transition there, to what Will Dawkins wants this team to be. They want to be a defensive team.
We will be known as a defensive team. We weren't good enough this year. Especially at the beginning of the year, we struggled mightily early. I think as guys, it's going to sound weird, but as guys got older throughout the year, they definitely got more comfortable playing, using their hands, not fouling as much, being in the right position, knowing what players can and can't do, learning players' tendencies. I think we made a few moves at the trade deadline to add some defensive-minded vets as well. And I think that's when you kind of saw the system that BK wants moving forward. And probably I'd say that February to mid-March, before we took that 13-day, 7-game road trip where we had a couple guys go down for the season, we were a top 15 or so defense in the NBA. So not where we want to be, but a lot closer to what we want it to look like. So for us, we saw some things on that end as well and made marginal improvements in specific areas we were looking to do as well. So we're getting closer.
They're getting closer, but not close enough for what they want. They understand it's a long process. They'll put their heads down and work. Again, like, Bob Carrington's 19. Alex Saar, 19. Keyshawn George is not even 21 years old yet. I mean, Jordan Poole's still young. Like, they've got so... A.J. Johnson, you know, Will talked about him today and was basically like, we see him as like when the high school quarterback comes to spring practice and he gets there early. Next year's really his freshman year. You know, his rookie year. It's obviously not going to be technically his rookie year, but they looked at him as an extra piece that they acquired in that Kyle Kuzma deal that will be a part of their future, but is almost part of next year's draft class. By the way, one last note. Tonight, you are rooting hard for the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant questionable with that ankle injury, but if the Grizzlies can win, tomorrow night, if the Grizzlies win and make the playoffs, they will have the late teens or maybe the 20th pick, and that pick will go to the Wizards. If not, then the Wizards will get second rounders next year. So big completion of the Marcus Smart trade there. That could be another first round pick for Washington this season. And if they're in that late 20 or, you know, late teens, it's very easy for them to add a couple second rounders or whatever else they need to do and move up and get back into the lottery if there's a player they want. Or maybe even if they wind up losing out and with their own lottery pick and they wind up, you know, picking fourth or fifth, could they get up to second or third by combining another first-round pick? So a very essential piece for Will Dawkins to deal with, to play with, depending on what happens for the Grizzlies tomorrow night. All right, that is most of what I wanted to let you hear from Will Dawkins today. He had some great stuff on Brian Keefe. He had some great stuff on why they had that turnaround in the second half of the season. Talked about how connected they were and kind of figuring out how to play with each other. Great stuff on Corey Kispert as a leader. Just really, really good stuff. And a phenomenal last question that he answered about, or phenomenal answer about Bob Carrington and just what he showed this year, playing in all 82 games, dealing with you know, the death of his father late in the year, the maturity that he showed throughout the entire season for a kid who's so young, the fight. They are very, very high on Bub for very good reason. So if you want to check that out, I know Monumental Sports had it up on their YouTube page if you want to watch the entire press conference, because you're a sicko like me and you watch the whole press conference. Or in my case, you were there. All right, that is the Wizards of it all for today. When we get back, it is time for Never Read the Comments.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.